Please open up your Bibles in our text for the sermon this morning. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Do not withhold correction from a child, for you've beat him with the rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. Let us pray. O Lord, we do pray that you might open our eyes to see the beauty of your word, to see the depths of your revelation, and to know Jesus Christ as he is revealed, even here in the book of Proverbs. May your Holy Spirit move and shine your light through the preaching of the word, so that our hearts be filled with gratitude and obedience to your commands. We pray that your people receive this word as the word of God, with faith and love, laying up in their hearts and practicing in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, usually when pastors or theological students have to preach to a congregation or to people that they do not know, the tendency usually is to preach something in a broader doctrine, a doctrine that everybody knows and that everybody agrees. Something like repentance, justification by faith, the intercession of Christ, the parables, or any major topic of the Bible. Not something so specific or polemical as we see in these two verses. But I believe that this text of Proverbs, these two verses, should be one of those common grounds in Christian faith on how to raise children to God. First of all, we need to keep this in mind. And when we come to a practical text like this, we used to forget it. That this is the God talking to your people, his inspired and living word. Therefore, everything that is in here, as well as in all other books of the Bible, are profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God is infallible, even when it describes how should we deal with our children. So we should read these words not differently that we read Paul's epistles or the Gospels. We should read this as inspired and authoritative word of the living God, as heavenly wisdom for our daily lives. Well, the book of Proverbs is well known for its practical content, isn't it? And we can find almost every single aspect of human life reflected here. How to work, how to use money, how to get money, how to be a faithful husband or wife, and even how to discipline our children. So we will focus our attention this morning on God's way to rear and discipline the covenant children. In these two verses, we can see that Solomon builds them as a parallel, right? And he's playing on words here. So in verse 13, says, do not withhold correction, for if you do this, he will not die. And in verse 13, he says the very same thing, the very same idea, but in other words, now as a positive command. You shall beat him with a rod, and by doing this, you will deliver his soul from death. So I will divide this text differently. Instead of going one verse and then the other, my first point will be the command that it's find in verses 13 and 14 as well. That is, do not withhold correction, and you shall beat him. Two together, the command. And then in the second point, we will see the reason why that also is found in the two verses, the second part of them. So he will not die, and you will deliver his soul from hell. And then in the end, I will conclude by showing what this thing has to do with the work of redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get into the text, I want to highlight the meaning of this word correction here in verse 13. Because I think it is a critical word to understand in this book here. This word is used throughout this book, as you may notice if you were a regular reader of the book of Proverbs. And correction, in the context of the book as a whole, has two different meanings for this same word. It can be verbal instruction or physical punishment, depending on the context. So sometimes this word correction, the Hebrew word, is translated as instruction or doctrine, meaning only verbal instruction. And sometimes the same word correction is translated as chasten or chastisement or discipline, meaning physical correction. Now, usually we have to take care when we have these twofold meaning words in the Bible because it's too easy to misinterpret a text. But I don't think there is a problem with this specific word here. And I believe so because in this case, the meaning of the word is quite easy discerned by the context in the whole of the book. For example, in verse 13, that our text this morning, the rod later do not withhold correction. Which kind of correction? From a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he's talking about rod correction, correction as a physical thing. In other words, the author of the book of Proverbs, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying that this kind of correction, which he's talking about, is a physical one, physical discipline, a physical punishment. And the other sense of the word, it's also fine in verse 23, the same chapter, 23:23, we read the following: buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction. This is the same word of correction of verse 13. Same Hebrew word. Right here, this is translated as instruction and understanding. And if we go back to Proverbs chapter 1, the first three verses, we read, the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction is in your Bible, but the same word, correction. To perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction, again, of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. So in these both last texts, it's clearly used, this word is clearly used with a sense of something verbal, something that we instruct, that we say, that we speak. But this twofold meaning of this word correction also points to how parenting should look like in a broader sense. The author of Proverbs builds up this dual concept of discipline throughout this book. So it's instruction and correction coming together. It's teaching and beating, speaking and spanking at the same time. And this is a godly pattern to rear children for the glory of God, according to his own revealed word. So if you as a parent or a mother only instruct your children without spanking them, first of all, you are disobeying God's clearly commandment here. And also your discipline probably will be defective and too lax or indulgent. And if you rear your child without the rod, you are failing short of God's way of parenting. But on the other hand, if you are the kind of father or mother that only spank your child without even telling them why they are being spanked, or without any kind of instruction from the Word of God, your discipline is too harsh. And also fall short of the godly manner to raise children to God. God's pattern for discipline includes both instruction and chastisement. And even the Apostle Paul admits it in the New Testament when we read in Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And those two Greek words are referring back to the same words that here, correction with those two meanings, verbal instruction, the training, and physical correction, the admonition. So having this understanding on how discipline and correction ought to be, we have to go now into the text. So the first point, the command. The beginning of verses 13 and 14 tells us, do not withhold correction. And 14, you shall beat him with a rod. A negative and a positive command for the very same thing. We see here a crystal clear commandment of God about parenting. There's no way to deny or avoid this passage. God's holy word is teaching here that we should physically discipline our children. Therefore, spanking our children and correcting them with the rod is an act of obedience to God. and not only an act of obedience to God, but also an act of faith. And God rejoices in this. I know that it sounds weird to say that God rejoices in a father spanking his children, but this is the teaching of Scripture. The Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 16 about good works reflect this teaching, saying, good works are only such as God has commanded in his holy word. Did God command disciplining our children? Sure. So, is that a good work? Of course, I think so. Because it's God's commandment in his word. And when we do this, we are obeying him by faith. But the confession still goes on to say, these good works, and think about here, disciplining your children with the rod. These good works, done in obedience to God's commandment, are fruits and evidences of a true and lively faith. In section 6 of the same chapter, we affirm that good works done by those who are in Christ please God. So stop for a moment to think about it. Using the rod in your children is not only in obedience to a command, but by doing this, we confirm our salvation. By doing this, we demonstrate to God and others that our faith in him is alive and true. Correcting our children is not only an act of obedience, but also an act of faith. However, a question that may arise, especially from children here, listen to me now, is why God commands this? Or why it has to be that way, right? Well, we don't know exactly in depth why he commands this, but we do know that everything that God commands reflects who he is, who he is. He says, be holy, for I am holy. He commands us to be holy because he is holy. In the same way, he commands us to spank our children with the rod because God himself spanked his children with his mighty rod. On one of the reasons why he demands this from parents, it's because God himself deals in this way with his children. God's parenting toward his sons and daughters is a pattern and a model for our parenting. God, as our Heavenly Father, disciplines his children, so this is exactly what he commands from us to do with our children. I'm going to look for with some texts now. You can just pay attention because I have notes here, so it will be a little quick. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5, we will see this pattern. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Hebrews 12, 7 and 8, if you endure chastening, God will deal with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Amos 3:2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. And Job 5:17 and 18. This is a beautiful text. In the midst of all his sufferings, in the midst of all his pains, he says that, behold, happy is the man who God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty, for he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 8 again, Moses urged the people to not forget the Lord and his commandments. And then he starts to list all the sufferings that the people went through during their time in the wilderness. And in verse 16, Moses said to the people the purpose of this suffering, that he, that God, might humble you and that God might test you to do you good in the end. So the pattern is set up to us here. This is the way God deals with his people throughout the ages. Since Job, going through the prophets, the Israelites, even the book of Revelation, we see that the way God, our Father, disciplines his children is with his mighty rod. He uses pains, wounds, and afflictions in order to bring us again to his side, to bring us again to his favor. It's an act of love that has reconciliation as a goal. Therefore, parents, do not dare to spank your children and just send them out. Take them into your lap. Make he or she feel that you are doing this as an act of love and obedience to God, although painful. Make sure to say to your children the reason why you are doing this, because you love them and because you want to obey God, because this is God's command for you. Because this is how God deals with his people. God only does this with those whom he loves. I recall one of my mother's stories of her youth. And someday she was complaining with a friend when she was a teenager about her parent that did not let her go to the parties late at night. And she was complaining, and this friend said, "I wish I could have a parent like you have, a father like you have, because my parent doesn't care about where I go, with whom I go, or which time I will go back home. You have a good father, and he really loves you. My father doesn't care about me." So even my mother's friend, who was an unbeliever, could understand that the father that would not correct his children did not love his children. So we should use the rod in your child, not only because God commands it, but also because by using the rod, we reflect God's holy and loving character. You already see the command of using the rod, but we also need to understand why God tells us to correct them with the rod. The end of verses 13 and 14 tells us, "He will not die," and in 14, "deliver his soul from hell." Solomon is again playing on words here, saying that although you will beat your child, he will not die. On the contrary, he will have the soul delivered from hell. It's almost like he was being sarcastic here, saying something like, if you beat your child with the rod, although he will not die, it's obviously. And this is a sober reminder to us parents that sometimes we are filled with pity and compassion towards our children, thinking that they would be disturbed or traumatized if we spank them. But Solomon is saying, this is not too tough. They will get over it. No one has ever been killed by being disciplined. The idea here that Solomon is trying to convey is that you will not kill your child if you beat him the way God's command. Of course, we have to consider that we need to recognize that we as parents are sinful as well. And we can be filled with anger towards our children in such a way that if we do not stop for a moment to think or breathe or pray, we can beat them to the point of death. We cannot deny that we are capable, we are able to do this because of our fallen nature. And that is exactly what Solomon says in Proverbs 19:18. Open up Proverbs 19:18. Says, "Chasing your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." My Portuguese Bible translates this verse something like, "Chasing your son while there is hope, but do not exceed yourself to the point of killing him." So our text is more, and it's not saying that we are not able or capable by any means to kill our children with a rod. Yes, we are, because we are sinful and we get anger various times. But the text is saying that if we spank them in God's way, out of love and obedience to him, he certainly will not die. Although we are afflicting them with pain, they will not be killed. This is the irony of that Solomon's trying to convey here. But these verses also had a bold statement, saying that if we spank them with the rod, they will be spared from hell. It's a quite bold statement, isn't it? We know that only Jesus Christ, with his redeeming work, can save sinners from hell. It is only by faith in him that we are spared from eternal punishment. So how to understand exactly this verse? It is saying that everyone who receives biblical discipline for their parents will be saved automatically? Well, I don't think so. And some theologians will argue, and on the other side of the argument, that those verses are only referring to physical death because of the original word, hell. And if you look to your verse, probably will be a footnote under the word hell, saying Hebrew Sheol, referring to physical death, to the grave, to the tomb, right? And people who defend that this is only a physical death, they used to read Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. Let's open up in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and read those verses. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. It says, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out of the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of this city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all the Israel shall hear and fear." This is what happened with the rebellious sons and daughters in the Old Covenant. So some theologians will argue that this is the kind of death that Proverbs is talking about here, of being stoned to death. Although I admit that this idea probably would be here in the text because this were their context at time, I don't think that this is the only allure that verses 13 and 14 are conveying for us today. But I believe that the author here is talking about something spiritual. He's talking about when we correct our children, that correction with a rod is the ordinary way God uses in the life of their covenant children to bring them to salvation and deliver them from hell. However, I'm not saying that if you discipline biblically your child, they will automatically be saved. No, because I don't think this is a promise. Actually, I think this is a general rule for life. And the difference between them is that a promise is that something that will happen inevitably, while a general rule can have some exceptions. Probably, there are people here who never were spanked in their childhood, but came to know the Lord Jesus Christ later, or the opposite. Those who have been disciplined biblically by their parents, but are not believers now. Another example of this general rule that I'm saying is the fifth commandment that says that those who honor their father and mother will live long lives. But this does not mean that everyone who died in an early age was a disobedient child. Yeah, this is talking about a general rule. So this general rules from scriptures are the ordinary way by which things God ordained ought to go. So the biblical discipline with the rod is the ordinary mean by which God calls covenant children to faith in Jesus, by faithful parents who not only instruct their children with scriptures verbally, but also correct them physically. This is the general rule for how to deliver your child from the eternal punishments of hell. And if we look to the Proverbs as a whole, we see this dealing of wisdom and foolishness together, and not as an earthly thing simply, but as a heavenly thing. He's talking about spiritual realities, spiritual lives. So if we read in chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Who are those who fear the Lord? He's talking about Christians. People who were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And by contrast, the fools that despise the wisdom instruction are the unbelievers. And we can see many texts in Proverbs that talks about this thing of discipline and not hearing the discipline, not hearing the instruction, and going to die. And I think it's spiritual in a spiritual sense. Proverbs 15:10 said, "Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction, he will die." I cannot believe that this is only talking about earthly things of this life. Also, in Proverbs 21:16, "A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead." What are the ways of understanding? It's the wisdom of God that Solomon talks here in all the book of Proverbs. And he says, the assembly of the dead. what is the assembly of the dead? I cannot think that is just a tomb that everyone goes after he die. Proverbs 11:19, as righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. I could quote many other texts from Proverbs to make this point, but I think it's clear that when he talks about dying here or hell or life and death, he's not talking about earthly things, as Deuteronomy chapter 21 that we read, that those who are disobedient would just be stoned and that's it. The whole book of Proverbs deals with this issue of wisdom, on how to get wisdom. And that wisdom reflects the fear of the Lord. There are many different ways described by Solomon to get wisdom: by fearing God, by obeying parents, and also by being spanked with the rod. It's an interesting text in Proverbs 29:15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom. Usually, we would expect something like instruction in the Word of God, the blessing of the Holy Spirit give wisdom, prayers give wisdom. But this text says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. By using the rod of correction, we take away the foolishness of our sons and daughters. So that's exactly what discipline is all about, to give wisdom to our children and make their hearts soft to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper, there were some people there that were living in sin, and God punishes them. And he says, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. The difference between the world and the children of God is here. God do not spare the children from the rod, but they spare them to be condemned by using the rod. Brothers and sisters, God's way of parenting is holy, is perfect, and we, as his flock, ought to imitate him in our parenting. So do not withhold the rod. Do not withhold also instruction and the doctrine. Those two things come together, because both are instruments that God ordains so that our children may have life and that may have it more abundantly. But please don't you ever think that those verses granted that if you use the rod, your sons will be automatically saved. We need to rear our children depending on the Holy Ghost, depending on the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, he gave us tools, he gave us the rules, the principles, but we fail to obey his word. We are not perfect. We sin, we err, we exasperate, we get angry. Sometimes we are hypocrites with our children, inconsistent. Sometimes we are intentionally mean with them. We just need to pray every day that our children do not imitate our sins and that the Holy Spirit work in their hearts, despite our failures, despite our weakness, despite our lack of faith or a lack of patience and meekness and godliness. Even using the means God gave to us, we are totally dependent upon him. And you children, please listen to your parents. Do not despise their discipline, even when they are harsh and tough. Remember that you must obey, in first place, God. And God commands you to obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Despising their words is despising God himself. So please, children, if you care about your soul, if you care about your eternity, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Finally, what all of this rod thing has to do with the redeeming work of our Lord Jesus Christ? We believe that God is Father, a Heavenly Father. And whose Father? Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten and beloved Son. Their family relationship was perfect and since eternity. There was not a time when Jesus was not perfectly loved by his Father. There was not a time when God the Father was displeased with his Son. There was not a time when Jesus needed correction. He was God himself. And even when he incarnate and became man like he became a man in likeness of sinful flesh. He lived a perfect and blameless and sinless life. He was the only son in the whole history of humanity, because he was human also, that did not need to be disciplined, nor by his earthly father, nor by his heavenly father. However, when Jesus hung on the cross, he became the vilest of all sinners, the most rebellious son, the worst and most evil and stubborn sons of all times. Not because of his sins, but because of your sins. All of your sins were upon his shoulders on that gloomy day. All the sins that the elect of all times and ages. At the beginning of his ministry, he heard the voice of his father saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." But on the cross, his heavenly father abandoned him, and his voice was not heard. The son was left there to die alone, desolate, cast off, and asking, "Oh, Father, why have you forsaken me?" On that cross, Jesus was treated just like the rebellious and his stubborn son in the Old Testament Israel. Jesus endured the anguishes and sufferings of hell so that you and I could be spared from eternal punishment. Jesus was treated as the illegitimate son for our sake. There was no rod for Jesus in order to deliver him from death. He was treated as the vile sinner with punishments of hell. He was crushed by his own father. Even Jesus being the most perfect and spotless son that ever existed, he suffered the punishment for unrighteous. He was rejected, crushed, and bruised even by his own beloved father. However, all of this happens with Jesus for his own will and love for us, so that you and I could be called children of God. Jesus endures the sufferings of hell so that we may have our souls delivered from hell. He was treated as the illegitimate son so we could be called sons and daughters of God, adopted and grafted into God's family. Therefore, brothers, we should rejoice when we are disciplined by God, because by doing this, he's doing you good and teaching you his ways in order to keep your soul safe from hell. Jesus died that you and I could be called children of God and have the pleasure of being disciplined by him. Let us pray. Oh, great God, we praise you for your son Jesus, our Lord. And we praise you because you do not spare his only son for sinners like us. Thank you because through his sufferings and death, we can be called now children of the Most High, living and true God. May we live according to this truth, not despising your correction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.